This is Rochester Speaks. I'm John Gehring, welcoming back Miss Julie's School of Beauty, as we're proud to feature them once again. An incredible organization here in Rochester doing some great work. And today, Jordan Saar, the Director of Community Mobilization, joins us to talk about Miss Julie's School of Beauty and what they have going on. Very exciting news. So, Jordan, good morning. Thanks for stopping by. Let's talk for those who don't know maybe yet, although you guys are very active in this community. What is Miss Julie's School of Beauty?
Miss Julie's School of Beauty is actually, I'll give you my spiel, right? It's the first in the nation. It is the first in the nation therapeutic and trauma-informed cosmetology school for survivors of sex trafficking here in Rochester, New York.
And what does that mean? Who gets to benefit from the school?
Yeah, so what we're doing currently is we are working with the state to get our licensure to be able to open up a cosmetology school. And a cosmetology school is going to be, it's a trade school. And so what we found is that over the years working with survivors, one of the biggest challenges for folks that have experienced trauma is being able to have a lucrative career for themselves that can provide for everything. So we are opening this first of its kind in the nation cosmetology school, which is a state license, meaning that folks that get the license are able to have the autonomy over their lives to be able to move forward within their career, because we don't get background checks as cosmetologists. So once we get our state license, we no longer have to disclose what's happened in the past or feel re-traumatized. And we actually have this chance at a new lucrative career. So that's like the 10,000 foot overview of what Miss Julie's school actually is. And the folks that are coming into our programs are those that have left the world of sex trafficking and have found help within base level programming such as Bright Star Communities in Rochester, is another well-known one. And so what they'll do is they'll send students to our school. And after they come into our school, we go through the entire program and then we get them licensed at the end of the program. Then they are able to work anywhere in New York State. And New York State also has reciprocity through a multiple other states as well. So down the road, should one of our students decide that they want to move on, they're able to move on into new states. And not only can they be cosmetologists, but it opens up a world of opportunities within the beauty industry.
So we've talked with Miss Julie before, and the thing that shocks me is how in the world in 2025 can we still have sex trafficking? Can that still be an issue? I mean, that's just so sad to me. Yet it happens more often than we might realize, even in our own community in the Rochester area. How humbling has this been for you, as well as for everybody involved in the organization, to just realize how much of a difference you're making? Because tragically, this still exists.
New York State is fourth in the nation. So that's a number for everyone to kind of feel. And I know the first thing that folks jump to is, oh, well, we're connected to New York City. And yes, we are, right? Our numbers are connected to that. But New York City accounts for just under half of that. And the rest is split between with the rest of New York State, which is, you know, our region has quite a big hold of that. And so it's this thought process or this idea, right, that if we don't know that something exists, if we don't talk about it, if we don't hear it, if we don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
And so that's kind of what has been the most eye-opening thing, especially for me when I first started learning about this, was like, oh my gosh, this is like, this really is prevalent. And then you take it one next step further and you're realizing that human trafficking isn't really just what you think it is. It's not just an overseas problem. It's not just somebody getting kidnapped. There's so many levels to it and how deep it can go. And the craziest thing that was for me and a lot of folks that attend my community sessions, like the biggest thing is when we're realizing it can really be our next door neighbor. It can be a mother to their child. It can be, you know, a grandpa. It can be somebody that we have a best friend. And it's just this crazy notion that this is a real thing. And it actually does have, it's in reality. It just might not feel like it's in our reality until we start to understand it. And so that's been like the most impactful thing for me, is that understanding, first of all, that any thought or word or action, there's an outcome that comes from that, and to understand what our impact of everything that we do and say and think is. And so it's been a really interesting moment for me to be able to step into this chapter and really be able to pause and realize, like, be a little bit more reflective in my nature and say, like, this, if I'm going to open my mouth, then my mouth has, there's an impact that comes from that. And so to be able to dive into a program with people like Miss Julie's and all these other organizations that we're connected with, it is like, I say it and it sounds cheesy and like you can roll your eyes at me all you want, but I swear I'm living in a dreamland. Like, it might be one of the most intense things and not a really fun thing to talk about, but I am really like just blown away that this is my life. And it is one of the most incredible experiences that I've ever walked into. So yeah, I guess that's my long answer to your question, but it's really crazy the impact that we can have.
Oh yeah, and so how many women approximately that you know of, how many lives have been changed by going from the horrible reality of trafficking to cosmetology and breaking free and living a different life?
So the craziest thing about that is that because we're not open yet and we're the first of its kind, we don't have data for this. And so we know from the social work world, we know from our world, I'm a cosmetologist by trade, or I was. And so like being able to connect all these things and realizing like, yeah, this is going to be something. And so as we've been working over like on this project, Julie's been doing this for 9 years. I started talking to her my very first time 5 years ago. So this has been a long time coming, and this conversation between our survivors that are helping us build this project to our own personal experiences to having these conversations with the community and learning more. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is already changing lives and we haven't even started. And that's a really incredible thing that if this organization can change my life the way that it did, and like I am like on this whole other realm of it, and then hearing from folks that have helped us and worked with us or just been inspired by us, it's the lives that are already changed are I create it, you can't even I have no idea, actually. I have no idea.
Well,
Yeah, in
the
terms of data for things, we don't have that, but we're building that. And so working with the Department of Health and building this community mobilization program with them is going to give our country the like much needed data that we need to have in order to really see what the impact that these kinds of programs are going to have for folks moving forward.
So what's that process like? You're working with the Department of Health currently and you're coming together with this community program. So how does one just get in touch with the Department of Health and start your work together with them?
Well, we were actually chosen for a grant to one of seven organizations across New York State, and we didn't originally like technically fit, right? Is what we were like, let's just apply and see. And they called us, and this is a grant in connection with New York State and the CDC. So the CDC gave New York State the grant, and New York State gave it to seven organizations. That's how that
Got
works.
it.
And they were like, we see what you're doing, and we understand, and we see that you have this like desire to do in the community. And so they came in and offered us this grant. And we're new. This is all brand new right now, right? I've been working the past since November 1st, I started this role with them, but we didn't start launching our community assessment until just this week. And
Wow.
so we've been having conversations with our community and learning from what they want. And so, like, meeting with people and hearing from survivors and being able to really build something the right way. And so that's what it's been so interesting to me, because I was thinking, like, I'm gonna go in and it's gonna be like a hustle thing, because that's what you always hear, like, especially nonprofits, like, they're burnt out, they don't have enough time. And when Julie started this organization, the main thing for her was that she wanted to make sure that her folks were taken care of too, that worked with her. And so it's like, okay, we all say that and we all have the greatest intentions to do that, but once you get into the work, it gets crazy. And we forget sometimes that wellness is such an important part and to take care of ourselves. And so working with this specific department and doing this grant has been this like, oh, we're supposed to take care of ourselves while we're doing this work. And so it's been this really amazing like experience with them of them saying like, we're going to learn this stuff. We're going to do this stuff and we're going to do it slowly and carefully, which then goes back into what I was saying before is that like really having that like honoring our intention and really slowing down and saying, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And we're going to do it with the voices of the stakeholders that are involved. It's not just going to be us saying, yeah, we're going to do this because it sounds good. It's like, no, most likely the things that I have in my mind are probably going to be wrong when I go out to the community. They're going to say like, oh, that sounds cute, but let's do, you know. And so it's been this really cool idea of flipping everything that I know on its head and really slowing down and having this process with the people that this is going to be affecting and working with. And so to be able to have that opportunity to slow down is something that we wouldn't have been able to have without that support from this grant. So it's been beautiful. I mean, really.
It sounds like you can't even imagine the potential that this could. And now, thanks to this grant, your work with the public, the Department of Health. So I know you can't fully imagine the potential of the school, but as we look forward to the school, what will it look like in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years? And what kind of impact will it continue to have as it's as the school is made official, right? And continue to have on women's lives who have been trafficked.
So it's people that have experienced sex trafficking and those at risk is really where this community program is leading us. And it is a prevention matter like thing. So it's like thinking about going upstream, if you will, right? So we see here we have a problem. We have this big problem. And instead of just going out and doing this rescuing and all over the time, like, oh, we're going to rescue, and we're doing all this effort to rescue people. And that's great. And we also need to take a hike up that mountain and we need to see what's happening and what is the root cause of all of this. And so, though I don't know what our steps are going to be like day by day as things go, one of my favorite things to do is to sit down and close my eyes and think about what is this going to look like? And how is it going to feel? And it's really cool to be able to be directed by that emotion behind it, saying like, this, it's going to be one of the most beautiful things because it feels so good every day. And so though I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, I can give you like a, you know, one of our visions is that we have this beautiful school and it's, we have a location in the Sibley building. And there's a lot of history to the Sibley building and a lot of passion in the Sibley building. And so when we're there now, and so it's this really cool connection that we have this connection here that feels really good, that has this intention of impacting our community in a beautiful way. And then you connect with these other organizations that are working with us and helping with us, and they have this like really deep family root feeling. And so we're able to connect on that realm. And so overall, we're going to have students that are going to come into a school that were supported and built by the folks in Rochester, New York. I mean, this money came from people here and it came from the passion of people in Rochester. And so this connection to the family feeling, to the love, to the unconditional love, and to the support is what our students get to walk into. And when they leave the school, they're going to have their license. And then once they leave the school, they're going to have salons that have making a they've made a choice to be more trauma aware and trauma informed. And so that they can also have a more trauma informed workplace that's going to feel safe and healthy for our students. But it's not just going to be our students that are going to be like affected by this. If we have small businesses and salons that have made a decision to be more trauma informed, like all the people that work there are going to be positively affected by these changes and these policy changes and this movement throughout Monroe County. And so within a year, our school is going to be open and we're going to start our first group of students. We're going to go through the process, do the pilot program, and then the intention after that is to keep moving forward with additional students. We've already had states, other states call us and say, "Hi, we kind of want this." And we're like, "Yeah, we know. But we want Rochester first. So help us get Rochester going. And then we'll be able to move forward into these other areas." And so these connections that we're making with people is you can see that this school, this concept, this idea, this notion of being a trauma-informed workplace is going to impact a larger scale than we can ever imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, and then, like you said, those salons, those areas of where, for some reason, and maybe you could explain this a little bit too, like that is one industry that's often associated with sex trafficking. And that's something that I've never quite understood the full relationship there, but I know this is why Miss Julie dove into this area of beauty and salons, right? So could you explain a little bit why that mindset shift and that whole culture shift in salons is so important and can not only change the lives of these women, but also an entire industry?
I jokingly say for like 10 years, I've always said, like when I became a hairstylist or 13 years ago, I was like, cosmetologists are going to change the world. And I jokingly said that, but more recently, I actually did a presentation and I ended with, "Oh, and by the way, we actually are going to be changing the world, just so you know, because it's actually happening." And so the cool thing is that hairstylists, we are one of the very few industries that actually get to physically touch somebody. And so when you're physically touching somebody, there's an energetic exchange between humans, and that's just a thing. It happens. And so we are always getting all of this information, and we're constantly receiving information from people. And it can be incredibly exhausting as hairstylists, first of all, to be like really empathetic as a group of people, and then to have all of this stuff dumped on us and not have the training that we need or the tools and the skills to be able to handle what's happening. So on a personal level, as hairstylists and salons, like this is a huge shift in our mindset of protecting ourselves and having that wellness aspect. And at the same time, cosmetologists and salons are forefront in the process of grooming and the coercion of sex trafficking. And so a lot of times what you'll see is someone will start the process of grooming by like gifting somebody a service, like, "Oh, here, honey, you deserve to have your hair done or get your makeup and your nails done." And they feel really good because we're talking about the majority of folks, right, are vulnerable populations. And so if they haven't experienced this like doting on before, that's going to be part of that grooming process of like, "Oh, this person loves me because they're getting me this service and they're taking care of me and this whole thing." Now, fast forward, they're in the industry, and we are now part of this whole process of making sure that they look good for the customers. And we don't even know this. And so hairstylists are being exploited. Our industry is being exploited by traffickers while we're servicing these women who are being exploited. Not just women. I make sure I correct that. It's not just women. And so this whole concept of the fact that we're like on the forefront of it. It's like not only are hairstylists overall a very empathetic group of human beings, we feel things, we see things, everything gets dumped on us, and then enter into this other part of like, "Wait a second, we're gonna have a trafficked victim walk into our salon? Like this can happen?" And when I first started this process with Julie learning, it was like, okay, 99.99% I serviced women who were trafficked on Park Avenue.
Wow.
Like, I can't 100%, of course, right? I can't say like, "Oh, I saw this actually happen." But like, with knowing the stats, with researching everything, with hearing from survivors, with reading all these books, like, oh yeah, that was definitely a victim in my chair on Park Avenue. So it's like, if that's happening, what can we as stylists do to not only emotionally protect ourselves and make sure that we're taken care of, but also how do we assess this and then how do we intervene? And what most importantly, too, is like how not to intervene and when not to because of safety purposes as well. And so there's this whole process of going into salons that Julie designed that we're going in and teaching folks like the signs and what's happening. And if this happens, how can you have a conversation and how can you bring it up safely without re-traumatizing somebody? And how can you let that person know, like, okay, I'm here and I love you and I'm here to support you. And if you need help, like I've got the resources and here's the resources. And if you're not ready, just know that I'm still here and I still love you. And whenever you're ready, I have the resources. And so with because before I knew all this, I didn't even know there were resources out there like we have. And so again, that whole reality, like unless we know about it, unless we see it, hear about it, it's not real. It doesn't exist in our lives, in our reality. And so we're just trying to encourage folks to be able to open up their hearts a little bit and see like there is this thing that we get to do that can change lives simply by just existing, and sharing this information with folks. So
Yeah. Oh my
yeah,
gosh. There's so much there, and it's heart-wrenching, and
so much.
but there's a lot to learn too for the rest of us,
Yeah.
'cause yeah, I did not know that. Jordan Saar is the Community Mobilization Director over at Miss Julie's School of Beauty. So you're working with the Department of Health. You're putting together an amazing plan for the future. I know we can learn more, Miss Julie's School of Beauty.org. How can we help though? How can the community members like me, guy, have nothing to do with hairstyling and, never have, never will, but how can we help your effort here to ultimately just make the world a better place, because that's what we're after.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to be able to accept help in any capacity that somebody has. And currently, right now, for myself, I'm in the process of building a list of folks who want to volunteer so that we can sit down together and figure out how we're going to move forward in that realm. And so that's something that's really exciting and important to me as well. If someone wants to get their hands in and to do stuff, like we're looking for folks that can help us in all capacities, whether it be, computer work to marketing to getting out there and learning how to do this program and talk to people to whatever it is. We want to be able to work with folks on whatever skill level they have. Other ways of helping is by, if you have the ability to financially donate, we're always going to be needing that. And we're going to start the process of building our scholarships for our students. The school is not going to charge our students. And so we need to figure out how they're going to be able to pay their way with outright, obviously. So, right, scholarships and grants and donations and things like that. And so asking folks if you have the ability to sponsor a student and give them a scholarship to come to our school. And if you can't afford the entire scholarship, give us whatever you can. And if it's a dollar, that's amazing. That really helps. It really helps. That $1, it makes a difference. And so there, it's important to note that no matter what it is that you can do, it's helping. It's being impactful. And it's just having that intention behind your words and your movement and whatever. It's like, if I want to help, well, how can I do that? Can I use my hands? Can I use my heart? Can I use my checkbook? Can I, what is that? And if you don't have the ability to do any of those things or donate supplies, just talk about us and talk about what's going on and start to share some of the resources with folks so that they know what's actually happening right in our backyards as well. And so however anyone can, that's, but I'm also open to having conversations and having coffee with folks. And as I build this assessment, right, this community assessment with the DOH, the next 6 months are all about me having conversations with folks in the community. And so I want to hear from folks. I want to hear from our stakeholders. I want to have meetings with people. I want to come and see your organization if you have one. I want to come visit. And so those are the things that we're moving forward, like just what can we do as a community as a whole that's going to be able to have a positive impact on those that are impacted by human trafficking?
And Miss Julie's School of Beauty.org is where you can learn more and just become aware of what's going on, regardless of how you can contribute. I think just, yeah, like you said, Jordan, just talk about you, because that's what we're doing here, and that's what I think people need to become more and more aware of. Jordan Saar is the Community Mobilization Director, Miss Julie's School of Beauty. And again, Miss Julie's School of Beauty.org to learn more. Thanks so much for joining me this morning, Jordan, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you.